Thank you for downloading the Broadmead Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy it.
So, we are continuing our series on Romans 12, and many of you are reading the book Zeo Life by Matt Summerfield. It picks up individual aspects as it goes through to build a picture of what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to have a Zeo life, that being a fervent, passionate life after Jesus. And we've covered verses 1 to 13 so far, and verses 1 to 3 look at God and us offering ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing, offering our everyday, going around, working lives. And then verses 4 to 8 is about us and us. It's about our how we relate to our brothers and our sisters and our church family. How do we love one another? How do we serve together as the body of Christ, with each and every one of us having a part to play? And then verses 9 to 13 is about us, I think. That's the best way I can describe it. And Mary spoke brilliantly last week about what it means to keep going, to be persevering in joy, and to be keep going in prayer. And Mary shared her own challenges within that. And all of that is really challenging stuff. It's wholehearted. It's in completely. It's more than just believing in God. It's more than just saying a prayer and getting a ticket to ride into the afterlife. It's more than that. It is living as a follower of Jesus, to daily choose in all circumstances to hear like Jesus, to see like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to breathe like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to think and feel and so much more like Jesus. It's more than believing in, it's living out a daily walk with. It's more than just turning up once a week on a Sunday. It's contending for a spirit-filled, Jesus-filled walk with him every single day. It's how you drive and what you drive. It's how you buy property. It's how you spend money. It's how you set up your standing orders. It's how you use the bank cards in your wallet or purse. It's how you work. It's how you rest. It's how you use your leisure time. It's how you serve others. It's your attitude and your thoughts. It's the clothes you wear and the holidays you choose, the way you treat your family, friends, and church family. It's how you treat the cashier in Morrison's tomorrow. It's about how you treat that call center employee, which I find the most challenging. It's how you treat your boss or how you treat those who work for you. It's everything. Because I've said time and time again, becoming a Christian is easy. Jesus does it all for us. But being a fully devoted follower of Jesus, that's not so easy. Because it requires us to daily sacrifice, daily surrender. Our kingdom, we were talking about that 2 weeks ago. We have a kingdom and God has a kingdom. And we have to daily surrender our kingdom to his kingdom. We have to acknowledge that he is the king. And we place ourselves on the altar as living sacrifices. And it costs. And it might cost you absolutely everything. It's challenging, isn't it? But in this chapter of Romans, the writer Paul has not finished yet. And this is the last part, which is about us and others. How we treat those people around us. And I'm going to read this from the Message version, just to give a slightly different take on it this morning. And I'm going to pinch some of the verses that Jim's preaching on next week. He kind of knows that I'm doing that. And I hope he will forgive me. So Romans 12, verses 14 to 19. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everyone. Don't insist on getting even, for that's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. And today, because there's so much in there, I just want to focus on the part about people who really pee us off. People who annoy us. People who hurt us. People who get on our nerves. Mean people. You know who I'm talking about, and you know if you've got people like that in your lives. Bad people, other people, our enemies, those who upset us, those who throw us off. You know the type of people I'm talking about. Someone may have even said to you, because these people throw you so off balance, they may have said to you, you're not yourself when you're around that person. Because they don't allow you to be you. Let me have a quick demo. Steve, can I borrow you for a second? I've already humiliated you once today. This won't be humiliation. But the thing with people who are mean people, people that we don't get on with, the people that annoy us, is that they very easily put us off balance. And so if I push Steve like that, and I keep pushing him, his natural thing is not to step away, don't do that. His natural thing, be natural, his natural thing is to fight back. Sure. Shocked me there a bit. Thank you, Steve. Brilliant. The thing is, when we're put off balance, although Steve demonstrated a very gracious sort of stepping back, and that's my sermon, but actually the reality is when we're pushed off balance, the thing we do is we push back. And mean people, difficult people, people who are, we might never describe us as our enemies, but we want to avoid them as much as possible. People like that are people who put us off balance. And our natural reaction is to fight back, is to even it up. And as I said, we might not be ourselves around them. We might be planning our revenge or planning how we're going to get even. But I believe we're being invited in this scripture to a different response. You see, by getting even, that makes us even with someone who we don't even like. And we end up just like them or worse. But let's be honest, it's so difficult to be good and kind to difficult people. I mean, if you're anything like me, it's not always easy to be kind to the people I like, let alone the people who are difficult. It's so hard to be kind to unkind people or to compassionate to people who are not, or to be sympathetic to unsympathetic people. I mean, we have the golden rule, don't we? Do unto others as we would have them do unto us. But we also have what's called the iron rule. Do unto others as they have done unto you. And then sometimes we can't take it out on mean people. You've had a bad day at work and your boss has been unbearable, but you can't take it out on them because, well, they're your boss. And you come home after a really stinking day with your boss who's been particularly difficult today. And your spouse or your children or whoever's at home ask you a simple question. And you go, "Wah!" And they think, where on earth has that come from? Just me then. Okay. You see, that's what I would call the baton rule. We pass it on. And it's do unto others as someone else has done unto you. We're off balance. And we want to fight back. And if you're a Jesus follower, that is not what we're called to. We are called to something different. And I'm going to tell you a little known Bible story to illustrate this. And we're going to meet three characters in this Bible story. And first of all, we're going to meet David. Now, most of you, if you've hung around church long enough, will have heard of David. But this isn't shepherd boy David. This isn't killing Goliath David. This isn't harp playing David. This is not King David yet. This is fugitive David. He is on the run. David, on the quiet, was anointed to be king by Samuel. And the current king, Saul, felt massively threatened by this. He wasn't particularly happy with someone else being anointed to be king. It's like if you heard that someone had been appointed for your job and you're still in the job and you're thinking, well, how much longer have I got left? And also the other thing was that he wanted it to be a family dynasty. He wanted to hand it on to his son, Jonathan. And so he hears that David is being anointed to be the next king. But not only is David being anointed as king, he is very popular. He even has his own dancing girls who sing and dance. Saul slays his thousands, David his tens of thousands. Can you imagine what Saul felt as he heard that? So Saul decides to put an end to this and kill David. And David goes on the run and he gathers together an army of 600 men who are also, we think, kind of on the run or fugitives or outlaws or anything like that. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 25 and we pick up the story in verse 2. And let me introduce to you the second character. Our second character is Nabal. Now, Nabal is extremely wealthy. I don't know why this came into my head today, but my dad once bought a checkbook cover. We had such a thing, a checkbook cover, by a friend of his. And on the outside it said, "I am very, very rich." Which wasn't true, but my dad quite liked it. But Nabal was wealthy, extraordinarily wealthy. But it also says he was also harsh and evil. He was a mean person, a bad man. If it was a pantomime at this moment, as I introduce him, you would be booing. Okay. And David hears, while he's out as a fugitive hiding, that Nabal is shearing his sheep. And basically, if you were wealthy and you owned thousands of sheep, as he did, and hundreds of goats, as he did, when you were shearing, it was kind of like doing your annual accounts. It was kind of like, how wealthy am I this year? Oh, look, I'm very wealthy. And so David sends 10 men to have a chat with Nabal. And he says to them, look, you're living in amazing prosperity. Peace be upon you. But hey, mate, when your shepherds were watching their flocks by night, we did an excellent job as their security. When your men were out looking after the sheep and the goats, my men provided security. We did an excellent job. Nothing came to harm to your animals, and your shepherds were not harmed day or night. Please give what you have spare to us. In other words, share a small amount as payment for our security services. And Nabal responds, well, of course, absolutely. You've always got to pay for good security. Decent job done, cheap at half the price. No, he doesn't say that at all. He says, who is David? Which is the equivalent of going, who are you? It's a real insult. How dare you approach me for this? And he refuses to give him anything. And David's men return and tell David everything. And David says, fair enough, we tried. No, he doesn't say that. He turns to the men, he says, strap on your swords. There's going to be some fighting. And so enraged was David that he strapped on his own sword. Whose sword was it originally? Goliath's. He straps on his own sword. And 400 of the 600 men went to sort out Nabal. David had been treated badly by Nabal and he was going to get even. It was do unto others as they have done unto you. He was replying evil with evil. In fact, David probably also was going to do to Nabal what he would have loved to have done to King Saul, who was trying to kill him. And so it was, do unto others as someone else has done unto you. And then we see entering into the story our third character. And this is when you cheer, because this is the hero of the hour, Abigail. She's described as having good understanding and beautiful. And she kind of reminds me of my wife. And I'm hoping that's enough brownie points to last a number of weeks. Abigail hears what is about to happen. And she also hears that Nabal's men telling her how good David's men were at security. Nabal's men realised that actually they were protected by David's men. They'd done a good job. And she also knows there's no point talking to her husband. He is described in Scripture as a worthless man to whom you can't speak to. Maybe we've all known people like that. And so Abigail acts. She gets some donkeys and she loads them up with enough food for an army. And I believe this is the first recording that we ever had of Deliveroo. And she packs the donkeys with the food and she sends them on to David. Meanwhile, David is on his way. He's got Goliath's sword. He's got 400 men. They're ready for a fight. And in Scripture, we see David talking to himself. And he's sort of saying, I've guarded this man's stuff in vain and he's returned evil for good. And have you ever done that? You ever done that where you're going to go and sort someone out? And as you're going, it's a bit like that. That's what's going on for David. He's raging with anger. And then David meets Abigail. And I encourage you to read the whole chapter for yourself because it's an amazing story. But she offers him food and asks for understanding. Her good for evil approach turns the situation around. She even reminds David that even though people are after him, God has got him. She reminds him that he's bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. And I believe that God wants every single one of you to know that today. That you are bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. And David receives the goods. And Abigail apologizes and grants her wishes. And then we have this incredible Disney ending. It's what happens, honestly. Abigail goes home and Nabal is celebrating how wealthy he is and he's very, very drunk. And she quite wisely decides that she won't tell him that night what she's done. She waits until the morning when he sobers up and she tells him everything. And when he hears everything, he understands that 400 men were going to come and kill him yesterday. And when he understands that, it's described in Scripture that his heart dies. And 10 days later, he dies. And David then arranges to see Abigail and they get married and there's your full Disney ending. Three characters. Nabal, evil for good. David's men had done something good. He paid them back with evil. David, evil for evil. Abigail, good for evil. Now, those of us here today who are followers of Jesus, we only have one choice. You see, each and every one of us have received good for evil from our Lord Jesus Christ, who while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And therefore, we need to remind ourselves that it's not amazing getting even. It's amazing grace. And we're called to live like Jesus. And so the only choice for us is good for evil. Now, let me just say, I'm talking about mean people here, bad people, people who put us off balance, not abusive people. If you are being abused in any way, shape or form, I want you to seek help. I encourage you to seek help. Seek someone you trust. Because this is not about people who abuse us. This is about difficult people who put us off balance. And there's a difference. But if you want to return evil with good, you're not only doing something to them, but you're doing something for them. And for you also. You see, when we return evil with good, it frees us. You see, getting even is predictable. And so I want to invite you to be unpredictable. And when you are, we become more like Jesus, who says to us today in Luke 6, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And so I just want to finish with these three questions. And I'll give you some time to think about these. Do you want to be even with someone who you don't even like? What story do you want to tell? In a few weeks' time, in a few months' time, in a few years' time, when you look back on this time, do you want to tell a story that you can be proud to tell? Where someone who really irritated you, someone who put you off balance, you were able to show good to them. And it changed the story. Some of you may have seen the Oscars last week. I thought Chris Rock's comment was appalling towards Will Smith's wife. At that moment, that was a really mean thing to say. But unfortunately, Will Smith's response was equally bad. And in his effort to get even, he's now in a whole lot of trouble, resigning from the Academy. His great night when he wins an Oscar, tainted forever by that one moment where he returned evil for evil. I'm not saying it's easy, but I bet he wished this week he was telling a different story. And so, what story do you want to tell? And what would it look like to return good for evil to the people who put you off balance? What would it look like for you to truly love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? I'm just going to allow the musicians to play for a few moments while I just encourage you to reflect on those three questions. Do you want to be even with someone you don't even like? What story do you want to tell? What would it look like to return good for evil? And maybe the first step is just to pray for those people who put you off balance. Those people that are mean people. Because we can't do this without God's Spirit. And a few moments after you've considered those questions, I'll pray and we'll worship together again as we close our service.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not check us out on all social media platforms or visit broadmead.org.uk.